Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believe him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for the privilege, the honor, and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke and remind you and all your demonic demons, and we render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we're going to continue our teaching on the ministry gifts and their purpose. Once again, the ministry gifts and their purpose. And I will be reading from the Greek Hebrew Key Study Bible, the King James Version. So if there are some words that are different from your Bible, please do not be alarmed. We will get to the same place at the same time. I guarantee you. Now, Ephesians 4, beginning with 11 through 16. "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined and compact, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. So we see here that Christ gave some to be what? Some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. But why did he give some? Because only some were chosen by him to do what? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're going to continue our teaching on the purpose of the ministry gifts that have been placed in the body of Christ by Christ himself. Those gifts, as explained in Ephesians 4:11, are the apostles, prophet, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are the five ministry gifts that our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, have set in the body of Christ. Now, it's entitled the ministry gifts. So a gift is a unique package, because it can be received freely or it can be refused just as freely. In other words, gifts are not automatic. First Lady Dr. Michelle of Kansas City Christian Faith Center and I belong to several animal organizations, and they send us gifts all the time for our support to their organizations. And in some cases, we have sent those gifts back. We did not accept those gifts. It's not that we didn't like the gift, but we didn't have a need for that particular gift at that time. So we returned it back to the organization that it sent to us. The point is, a gift can be received or it can be refused. Amen. It is up to you. Now, these gifts that Christ has given to his body, the church, we certainly want to receive, accept them, but also we want to receive the benefits they have for our perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edification of the body of Christ. Amen. So please go with me to the book of James, chapter 1. Again, that's James chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 17. And it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. So we see here in the Word of God that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Now, that means that, hey, there could be a bad gift, because it says specifically every good gift. So that lets us know that there can be a bad gift. The Word tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, or the beginning from the Father of lights, which indicates that there could be bad gifts and imperfect gifts that come only from Satan and his demonic angels. Now remember, Satan only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He doesn't come for any other reason. He's coming to try to deceive you so he could kill you, so he can steal from you, and so he can destroy you. Amen. Now I want to point out something in this scripture. James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights. Now, that word lights, meaning in this scripture, it means to show or to make known one's thoughts. It means to show or to make known one's thought. Our Father wants us to know His thoughts. Yes, our Father wants us to know His thoughts. Please go to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. We have to be aware of Satan's devices. Amen. So 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, we're going to read verses 13 through 15. And it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself transforms into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Amen. So we see here that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. Not only him, but also his ministers. Now, before Satan, or Lucifer, as he was called in heaven, was known as the light bearer of the morning star. But that anointing that he had when he was heaven was taken from him because he was disobedient and he was jealous. And so they kicked him out of heaven. Amen. See, God wants to show us and make known his thoughts to his body, the church. And so we have to be aware of that. Amen. But Satan, we have to be careful. We have an adversary, and he stays on his job 24/7, 365 days a year. So we have to be aware of his devices. Now, let's continue where we left off last week regarding the purpose of these gifts, because the Word has established that God is a God of order and purpose. Amen. If you go back and you study the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and you look at the creation, God did everything decently and in order. And so it's the same way with these ministry gifts. We're going to look at them and we're going to see the order that God has placed these gifts in and what we need to do to take advantage of these gifts. So, looking at Ephesians chapter 4, please. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 13. But let's read into this before we go to 13. Let's begin back with verse 11. And it says, "And he gave some apostles and some pastors and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." For what? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And verse 13, here we go. It says, "For the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith." Now, we must understand that our Heavenly Father will never, never give you an assignment that he knew that you could not accomplish. He's not like that. We serve a good God. And just like our natural fathers here on earth will never tell us to do something that he knows that we couldn't do. Well, same way with our spiritual father. Now, you might attempt to do something on your own authority and fail and blame it on God because it didn't achieve the results that you expected. But that is not God's fault, because you went off into an assignment that he didn't give you to do. You did it on your own authority. That verse says, "Until we all come." Until we all come. Once again, "until we all come into the unity of the faith." Now, that is an inclusive expression, meaning that we all can do it. We can all come into the unity of the faith. But because we have an adversary and he comes with tricks and trickery and deception, we have not gotten there yet as a body of Christ. We have not come to all the unity of the faith. See, everybody, family, cannot be the drum major. somebody is going to have to be in the band. But what people in the band don't realize is that they get their time to solo. They get your time to solo, but everybody wants to be the drum major. Now, notice it didn't say until some of us come into the faith. No, it says, but all come, which suggests our Father wants us all on one accord, united in agreement. Amen. So we can do it. We can do it. The only reason we haven't done it is because we don't want to do it. See, a lot of people don't realize, for much is given, much is required. When you think that you want to be the drum major, there's going to be more required upon you. Amen. And you have to understand, as believers, our expression of faith should be that of unity and not discord. Amen. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at this unity a little more closely. See what the Word of God says about it. Ephesians 4, and we're going to read verses 4 through 6. And it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. So we see here, look, it's only one body. There is one spirit. Amen. And we're all called in one hope of our calling. There is one Lord and one faith and one baptism. Amen. One God, and he is the Father of all. Amen. Now, in Ephesians 4, verse 13, we see the word and. We see the word and it connects those two statements. And so let's see what it says. It says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and. So that's a conjunction connecting the next passage, which says, of the knowledge of the Son of God. So after we come into the unity of the faith, then God says, and the knowledge of the Son of God. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. See, there are many people, even believers, who know Jesus, but they don't have the knowledge of who he is. Sure, they know he is. They know he came to redeem us. They know he went to the cross. He died. He was buried. He rose on the third day. But do they really know who he is? Do they know that he is the one and only true living God? Amen. Now, that word knowledge means to become fully acquainted with, to acknowledge, to have full discernment, acknowledgement. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants for his children. He wants us to know him fully, to have full discernment of who he is, what he is, what he can do, and what he has. Amen. And he wants that for us also. If Jesus is our Lord, then we should have full knowledge of who he is. Amen. There should be no guessing of who he is. That's why the scripture tells us we need to be unified. Amen. In agreement on everything. The scripture tells us that we are made in his image and according to his likeness. So the church needs to attain the knowledge of the Son of God. Amen. The issue in this statement is not the knowledge of becoming a Christian, but about knowing the Son of God fully. Let me repeat that, because I think that's an awesome statement right there. The issue in this statement is not the knowledge of becoming a Christian, but about knowing the Son of God fully. We want to know him fully. Amen. So when we go out in this dying world, our light will shine that they will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Why? Because we know him completely. We know that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, the word knowledge here implies personal relationships. The church's personal relationship as believers with the Son of God. Amen. We should have a personal, intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior. Amen. The word knowledge here is more than intellectual knowledge or school knowledge of facts, but the Son of God, but the idea to know him personally. You know, the scripture tells us in Romans, it says, if you draw near to me, then I will draw near to you. Because God wants to have an intimate relationship with his children. Amen? And that's where it should be. It's just like you have an intimate relationship with your mother, your father, and your sisters, and your brothers, and all your family members. That's the way we should have it with God. Even so, ours should be even more closer because he's our Savior. Amen? Now, please go to the book of Philippians chapter 3. The book of Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to read verse number 10. And it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformed unto his death. This knowledge is corporate, the whole church, the body of Christ, on one accord, as well as individually. Amen. So it tells us that this fellowship, this relationship, this knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the whole body of Christ should be on one accord. One person shouldn't be talking one thing and then we saying another. Amen. No, we need to be on one accord, a united front. So when we go out, no matter where we go individually or collectively, that we are on one accord. Amen. And the world will know that we are on one accord. Amen. Then as we look into the applications of these gifts, we see here it says, also in verse number 13, it says, unto a perfect man, unto a perfect man. Now, when God created man, we were made in his image and according to their likeness, meaning we were made perfect without spot or blemish. When God created Adam, he was spiritually innocent. He was spiritually innocent in the fact that he was perfect. Amen. But because of Adam's transgressions, that perfect man became sin. So Christ had to come to redeem us back to the Father to a stature of perfection. Amen. To a stature of perfection. To a perfect man, meaning that the body of Christ, the church, can return to that degree of completeness in age in various applications of labor or work in the ministry, growth in our spiritual walk, mental, through our minds be renewed, and our moral character. Amen. And the church can return to that. Now go to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 48. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. But it says, be ye therefore perfect. So that means we can be it. It's just like God says, all you have done, stand. Stand on the word of God. But it says this, be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Remember, Christ is the only perfect being. But we can be perfect, meaning complete in our work in the ministry, our growth in faith, the renewing of our minds, and the moral character to stand against every thought, idea, or suggestion that Satan or any of his demonic angels attempt to attack us with. Amen? And let's look at number 4 of the applications of the spiritual gifts or the ministry gifts. And that says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The standard of our spiritual stature is the fullness in Christ. Arriving at the fullness in Christ defines a mature believer or a church complete. This should be the desires and goal of every mature Christian. It is the standard that God sets for maturity. This is how we as believers can gauge our edification, our development, and our maturity. A church that has unity about what it believes in Christ and personal knowledge about Him has grown to maturity. Well, you know what, folks? I am just about out of time for today's message, but please join us next week as we will continue. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.